All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DeGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studios here. Oh, wait, I got to reach over here for a second. Hold on.
Okay. Because
I forgot.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I want to use these here in a second.
All
right.
All right. Got to get your situated. Hi.
We're back. It's Nick DeGilio here on 720 WGN. It's 2 for Tuesday. Get your request in now. Yeah, man, 2 for Tuesday. 312-981-7200, one artist, two songs. And that other voice that you hear is Jen Bosworth, my good friend. Been on this radio station many times.
Yes.
And been on my show many times.
Many times.
But it's been way too long.
It's been way too long. And I keep getting, now that I posted on Facebook that I was going to be on, and everyone is like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's been too long.
Everyone's very excited.
And
I'm
excited. You came bringing gifts, and they were Halloween themed gifts.
Yes.
And I forgot to bring in Fartenstein.
I saw them in your fancy office.
I have an office now.
Okay. It's fancy. This place is so fancy.
They did a pretty great job, didn't they?
I mean, this is like the Ritz over here.
Yeah, and there's a lot of square footage here. I mean, this whole floor.
I got
the entire
lost.
18th floor.
Yeah.
First time I came in here, I had no idea.
It's beautiful.
It is. They did a beautiful job with it. And yeah, I mean.
But I did. And I noticed, what is it? Fartula?
No. You're thinking of the cereal.
Oh, sorry.
It's Count Fartula.
Count Fartula.
And Fartenstein.
And Fartenstein.
I'll bring them in. They'll join us after the news.
Okay, good.
But you brought in a little toy, because you know how much I love Halloween.
Yep.
And it's Fright in a Can.
Yeah, and you press the little button.
And it does say, here.
Which kind of sounds like you.
Oh, yeah, it does.
A little bit.
But it has different sounds,
yeah,
right?
Six scary sounds. That's how my husband Miles probably hears me every night.
How's Miles?
He's great. He's sleeping. He's still earning the doubloons.
Okay.
We're still, you know, he's the only one earning doubloons, but you know, I'm getting up there. I have one or two doubloons a week.
Yeah. Miles is the one who's responsible for you listening to my show.
Miles is in love with you.
He's a big fan, I know.
He's a huge fan.
He's a great guy.
Oh, yeah. He's responsible. Okay. That's like a more elevated witch.
Yeah.
That witch is really excited. A rusty something.
The hell was that?
It was like a trumpet gone wrong.
Storm?
I don't... Now we're getting into poltergeist material?
The hell was that?
I don't know. That one is really... That one we know.
That's a scream.
That's a scream.
That's me again.
That's you again.
And then you brought...
And then the other one is very similar.
The Halloween sound machine.
Yeah. It's just this... It's like the Three Stooges, basically. It's just saying.
Creepy door.
Oh.
Werewolf.
Werewolf.
Drunk.
Drunk.
Owl.
Owl. A screamer.
Scream.
I think it's a standard
same,
witch.
I think it's the same witch.
Yeah, they use the same witch. That I love.
Wow.
That one is great. Piano. That one you could reuse over and over.
Wow.
Someone says something.
One more.
That's a violin in a... They all sound like Three Stooges.
Yeah.
Sound effects.
Sound effects.
Anyway,
well, thank you for
Halloween.
That. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And I'll bring in Fartenstein and Count
Fartula. Those are my favorite.
Yeah. So what the hell? What have you been up to?
You know, I was going to tell you, I took up this weird thing called exercising.
Oh. No, I'm not familiar.
You once said, and I remember, you're like, yeah, you know, I get winded rolling over in bed.
Yeah.
And I could relate. No, but I did. I started trying. You know, I'm 43. It's time to, you know, you got to
move. You just
move.
Had a birthday, though, right?
I did.
Didn't you? Yeah.
Libra Nation.
Happy birthday.
I don't know what that means.
Libra Nation.
I don't know. I started saying
Is it a gang? A street gang?
You know what? I'm in a gang called Libra Nation Fat and Sassies. The Fat and Sassies. My grandma, I used to say, Grandma, how you doing? She'd say, I'm fat and sassy.
Ah.
So that's the gang I'm in.
That's the gang you're in.
I started running. It's crazy. Running is horrible.
It is. It's, yeah.
Have you ever run? Did you
to catch a cab or something?
No. And in high school,
I did.
Did they make you run in high school?
Well, when I first got to Luther,
did you do cross country?
I did. And the reason why is because I'm still a relatively small guy.
Yeah.
I'm 5'8", and I was even smaller when I was 14 years old when I was going to high school. So football was out of the question.
Okay.
So, but the thing is, I this was a school that I was going to where I knew no one.
Oh.
All of my friends from my public school
went to
Lane,
right,
or Lakeview.
Right.
And all of the people that I hung out with, 90% of the people that I hung out with were burnouts who would eventually be thrice divorced and unemployed and drunk.
Right.
Which I turned out to be two, right, out of three of those.
Right. That's okay.
But anyway, my parents were like, no, you can't hang out with these people anymore.
Cause
we're going to send you to a different school. And so we found Luther North and I liked it, but I was still like mad about not having any friends. And so one of the people when I went to tour in the summer of 79, when I went to tour at Luther North, you know, to get to know the facilities, right, and stuff, one of the counselors there said, you know, you should maybe try out for a sport because, you know, it'll be fun.
You'll meet people.
Be great. You'll meet people and
what?
You'll know the school before anybody else does. Because,
see, that's smart.
Yeah. So I joined cross country. And I started practicing and at Luther
before
cross country
started.
2.5 weeks before school started. So by the time the orientation day came, I knew the school backwards
smart.
And forwards.
That was a smart counselor.
Yeah, a very smart counselor. So, but that's the only reason I took cross country, and I only did it the freshman year, and then I did no sports at all for the rest.
Well.
Of the time. I played baseball.
That's enough running. You did.
Yeah. So.
Oh my gosh.
I played a little bit in high school, just 1 year in high school.
We learned all about you.
And then, and this isn't even turned the tables on Nick yet.
Good questions.
Yeah, because when Jen is here, she always did. We do this thing where she turns the tables on.
Do you move studios? Do you still have the news thing? Dun dun dun.
Whoa.
No, that's okay.
Anyway. You wouldn't have to look for it, Dan. We'll have to look for the breaking news bulletin.
Yeah, we'll find it.
No, I think we have it. It's got, because we were looking for Dan. We were scanning through some old sound bites,
and we
found some other ones.
Oh, okay.
That we couldn't find before.
Yeah, because my segment has its own.
Yeah, I'm trying to. It's the
breaking news.
We do have this.
I have been pitying fools for 28 years, Bill, and it's never personal.
We'll find it.
We'll find it. I'm not worried.
Okay, we have to break. Okay,
great.
All right, and Jen Bosworth is here, and you have a brand new thing that you're doing here.
I'm doing some stuff,
and we're going to talk all about it. We'll find out. We'll catch up with Jen and Fartula and Fartenstein will be here too in the next segment. All right, well, let's take a break. The news is up next. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720, and we're back here in Allstate Skyline studio here, and I'm really happy to have my friend Jen Bosworth back in studio with us.
Yay!
We're going to hang out this morning.
I'm super excited to be here.
We're here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. Steve Cochran at 6 with your morning drive. 2 for Tuesday. Get your requests in now. It's 312-981-7200. One artist, two songs. Get them in now. We'll play them later. We're going to be talking about TV shows that feature really unlikable characters. And we're going to talk about the fact that The Price is Right is coming to Chicago.
What?
Yeah, sans Drew Carey.
Oh.
But it's Price is Right live at the Chicago Theater.
I haven't liked him since he got thin.
Yeah, I always prefer my comedians fat.
Like a more round version. Yeah, but what? Look who's in studio.
Look who's here. Look who.
Trick or treat.
That's Fartenstein.
I love the laugh at the end.
Count Fartula.
Look into my eyes. Gotcha.
Oh my gosh.
So they'll be joining us periodically throughout.
I mean,
the morning.
How long have you had those guys?
Oh my god.
Yeah. Yeah, a long time. Like,
yeah.
Because last time I was here around Halloween about 4 years ago.
No, I've had them longer than that.
And you had them.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what. I don't know if you know this, the rebuilding of Fartenstein.
No.
Okay, Adam Phillips, who is one of our great engineers here.
Okay, yeah.
Idea is these things are, and people who might not know, they're plush. They're little plush dolls.
The little plush guys, yeah.
Little plush dolls. And when you squeeze their finger, they fart.
Yes.
And that's they make the wacky gimmick. Comedy. And they shake because the fart is so strong that they actually
vibrate. I did not know.
No, they vibrate. Yeah, they vibrate.
Oh, my God.
So, like if they're sitting on a shelf and they fart,
that's
they vibrate.
Pretty amazing.
It is awesome.
Yeah.
Fartenstein, I went one night to squeeze his finger.
No fart. Sans fart.
But Adam, our engineer here, said, let me take care of it. Rewired the whole thing.
No.
Added a button that I could press and wire it through his chest.
That one rattled my bolts.
Oh. So he literally is Dr. Fartenstein.
He is.
Because he brought him back
to
life.
That is Fantastic.
Yes. So,
oh my gosh.
So I had him long enough to have Fartenstein fixed. I don't know why. So
he's been refurbished.
I've had him a very long time.
I'm glad they're here.
You know, for what was it, Dan? It was about a week into October. I hadn't brought him out yet, and the listeners were like,
yeah.
"Hey,
yeah,
we're a Fartenstein account for," and they also want the screaming dude because we have to go through the spooky sound CD.
Oh,
you familiar with the spooky sound CD?
Yes, I am.
Where the guy going, for 2.5 minutes. Yeah.
But the thing is, like, I imagine those actors just having to do that. It'd be kind of fun.
I think it was just one dude in a garage.
Oh.
Just screaming. That's how I pictured it. It was a real low rent thing.
But
we go through the scary. Yeah, we go through the scary sound CD.
And you love Halloween.
It's my favorite. Yeah,
me too.
Yeah, and like you can always find a scary movie on cable throughout the entire month.
Yeah.
Of October.
Yeah.
I showed Phantasm for my film club last week. The original Phantasm.
What I'm coming in. I'm going to go in November.
You're going to come to Longest Yard.
I'm going to start doing Film Club again.
Awesome.
Longest Yard.
You and Miles are coming out. Okay. Yeah.
I love Film Club.
It's the best.
Busy.
It's awesome.
But my question is, do you consider Jaws a scary movie?
I do. I think it's an adventure movie.
I saw it two nights ago.
Wait. For the first time?
No.
Oh, I was going to say, God.
That monologue.
The Indianapolis monologue?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I cry, and was he really drunk during?
Loaded.
Okay.
Robert Shaw.
Yeah.
Was a legendary souse. A legendary souse. That man drank a lot of booze. He showed up when they were filming the monologue, the Indianapolis monologue.
Oh, my gosh.
And he was crap faced, like he was gone.
He couldn't.
So Spielberg set up three or four different cameras, which is unusual in tight vicinity because it takes place inside the boat, underneath
little
the
cabin.
like a booth.
Yeah,
you know,
and they're singing and all.
And, yeah, and so he set up four cameras. And now the monologue itself, you know, legend is that Shaw just came in and winged it or wrote it. John Milius, who doesn't have a writing credit, and Carl Gottlieb, who has the writing credit for adapting. It's a combination of things. Some people say that it was absolutely Shaw, like Shaw came in and did that. And some people say it was a combination of Milius and Shaw.
Okay,
and that's what I believe because John Milius. That's something that John Milius is the guy, you know, wrote and directed Conan the Barbarian.
Oh, yeah.
He co-wrote Apocalypse Now.
Yeah, it was mingled.
Wrote and directed Red Dawn. This is the kind of guy we're talking about. Yeah. So he would write something like
that.
Exactly. But the take that you see in the movie
was the one.
Which is one of the greatest monologues.
One of the greatest.
Of all time.
I mean, it makes me cry. And it's not even. He's so good.
And that was that take that you see.
Yeah.
He was loaded and immediately when he finished, passed out on the table.
No.
Yeah. Yep.
That is brilliant.
It's amazing.
I mean, we watched that movie and then because of that, tonight we also watched one of my favorite movies of all time, the original Taking of Pelham 1-2-3.
Oh, that's a great Robert Shaw, man. You're doing some Robert Shaw work.
I'm really interested because I'm writing in good monologues. And he has some good monologues. And he doesn't really have any in Taking Pelham 1-2-3, but his whole he's a brilliant actor.
He's a great actor.
I don't know what else he's done. I gotta look
him up. The Sting.
Oh, right.
Why am I blanking?
I don't know, but he must not have lived very long.
He died young.
Because he drank so much.
I think he was in his 50s when he died.
Sad. But Jaws, okay, so you do consider Jaws like a scary movie.
I do.
It's not a Halloween movie, but it's...
No, I mean, but it's scary.
Oh, it's
and
scary.
And it freaked people out enough when it came out that they wouldn't even go swimming in the lake.
That is...
Like, seriously, you know, there were people in Chicago, and I'm not going to Lake Michigan.
Right.
There are no sharks in Lake Michigan.
I know, but one goes in the pond.
Well, that's true.
He's in the pond.
They have this thing that they do during the summer in different parts of the country where they put a big screen out in the water, and you can sit, like, on flotation devices and lounge chairs.
That's going to be a hard pass.
On the water with your legs in the dangling. And watch Jaws.
Yeah, yeah. You've got to be insane. I mean, there were so many jump scares still that Miles and I were jumping around.
Well, the decapitated head coming out from the.
That's what Miles that's remembers from his childhood.
That's the one that just. And Spielberg threw that in at the last minute. They had already done some preview screenings, and he's like, "I think we need something scary here." So they did the whole when Hooper is digging the tooth out of the sunken ship.
The head pops
out.
The old guy.
That was not in the original cut.
Why do you think it is that it's so believable, even though it was back in the day, and that shark we all know is fake? There is who cares? It's still scary.
The thing about that was one of the things that was a blessing in disguise for that movie was the technical difficulty with that shark.
Okay.
Because they called him Bruce.
Okay,
They named the shark Bruce. And it was a mechanical shark. It's 25 feet long. It was an actual working mechanical shark. And it just malfunctioned constantly.
Oh, man.
It would...
Really?
Like, constantly. So Spielberg, whose initial plan was to unveil the shark early in the movie and show him a lot, had to completely change that.
I did not know that.
And not reveal the shark about two-thirds less than he wanted to. And the result is brilliant.
Brilliant. Because you're like, what in the world?
Yeah. So he had to do that because the shark kept malfunctioning.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, but
so you love the film.
Oh, it's one of my favorites.
Watching Jaws 2.
No.
What is going on?
No, don't watch any of the other Jaws
movies. The dialogue is like, what is happening?
Jaws 2 is not horrendous. The other two are. Jaws 3D is unwatchable. And Jaws the Revenge.
Is that where the shark follows them to the Caribbean,
yeah.
I think?
Yeah. This time it's personal. That was the the shark was personally chasing after Lorraine Gary.
Right.
Yeah. And at one point in the movie, it is such an awful movie. It's so funny. Michael Caine's in it.
Oh.
And so they asked Michael Caine, you know, they're like, you know, you've made a lot of some of the movies that you choices that you made. Can you explain why you did Jaws the Revenge? He goes, I needed an addition on my house. And I spent 2 months in Jamaica.
There you go.
And I'm like, okay. And he didn't lie about it. He's like, that's exactly why I did it.
Right.
At one point in the movie, he jumps in the water. And he jumps in the water and he's in the water and he comes back out, gets back on the boat.
Yeah.
And then the next shot, dry clothes.
Oh, my God.
It's like they
don't even try.
It's brilliant continuity.
They're like, forget it.
So, okay, you were watching movies with great monologues.
Yes.
Okay. And tell everybody what's going on, what you're doing now.
My life has sort of become many things. But one of them is writing. So I still audition, and, you know, but acting's for the birds. It really is. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just you have no control. So I said, I'm going to start. I mean, it is.
No, you're right.
It's just for the birds.
You know,
the other day, theater's for the birds. I know I shouldn't say that, but it's so much work and commitment for $2.
And you're 43 now.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm 10 years older than you.
Yeah.
So it was right around that age when I started going, all right.
Yeah.
You know, when I was in my 20s, in my 30s, I was like,
40-hour days.
This is fantastic. This is great. I'm loving it.
We're bonding. It's
and
a
then
whole.
As I got into, you know, like around the age that you are at now, I was like, I can't. And I just kept, you know, delegating things to do when I was directing stuff to the young ones that wanted to do it. Like, I'm 22. I'll paint for four hours for free. I'm like, do it.
Go ahead. That's how I get emails, you know, and bless their hearts. Hey, Jen, can you play this role 10 hours or, you know, a week? $25 a week?
Yeah.
I just started laughing hysterically. So I decided, okay, well, if I'm not going to be paid, I might as well do something super fun, like write.
Mm-hmm.
And I had written the solo show that you saw.
Yeah.
And I loved writing. And I thought, okay, well, most writing is terrible that I see. I mean, a lot of it is terrible. And I thought, well, if I'm going to complain, I might as well start writing. So I started writing. And I started writing monologues for people because they couldn't find good monologues to do for auditions. I had a 55-year-old woman who was a brilliant actor, but she said that, you know, she'd been doing a monologue from Gwyneth Paltrow's Sliding Doors.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, no, we are not going down this path. So I'm writing monologues for people
That's
based
right.
on them. and they get a lot of response. And it's shocked.
That's great. So what's the process then?
So
you interview them?
Yes. Yeah. So I'll sit down with somebody and I'll say, hey, what do you want this monologue to be about? Like, who are you? And I use my, because I was a therapist, you know, at social services for years, and I'll ask them questions and they'll tell me, and then I'll go away and write, and then I give it to them and they pay me, and it's real great.
And now, have you had success rates? Have people done well with
you? Yes. Yeah. So people, then they will, I'm sort of in business with Robin Coffin. So she's an acting coach.
Yeah.
She says hi and sends her love.
Yep.
She loves you. And she said, and so she's like, listen, I'm coaching these people that are using monologues they shouldn't be using. She's like, can I send them to you? I'm like, yes. And then I send them back to her to get coached. And then they become famous.
That's great.
And then I buy my edition on my house, which I don't have.
Just like Michael Caine.
Yeah.
So if there are actors and actresses out there right now who are like, hey, I would like that service how can they contact you?
You can just email me at jenwrites@gmail.com.
jenwrites@gmail.com.
It's easy peasy. That's my Gmail for my writing stuff. I'll write you a monologue. It'll cost you.
Yeah. Well, you got to pay for it.
It's not
a free service.
No, I'm done volunteering.
Yeah, I understand.
Mean,
so, but now, you know, when you watch something like that monologue that Robert Shaw has in Jaws, does that inspire you?
Yes, because what happens is I'm like, why is that good? Partially, it's good because he's loaded and he doesn't care. So, you know, he had no inhibition.
Yeah.
You know, he was like, but also,
it's, you know, it really happened like that.
Right.
That's true.
So right. So what I do, too, is take events from these people's lives that have happened and turn it into a monologue. So it's super fun.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's really great. All right. I want to talk more about this. We have to break, though.
Great.
Okay. I also have a couple of suggestions for movies with great monologues in
them
that you should see. So, all right. Let's take a break. Jen Bosworth is here. And again, jenwrites@gmail.com if you're interested in using her service. So we'll take a break. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. We are here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, Steve Cochran at 6. And coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. My friend Jen Bosworth is here.
Yay!
It's Tuesday, 2 for Tuesday. Yeah, man, 2 for Tuesday! 312-981-7200. Get your requests in now, and we'll play them a little bit later on. And we were talking about how you create custom monologues.
Yeah,
for
actors and actresses. I gave you the wrong email, which is not good.
Okay,
it's Jen Bosworth writes.
Oh, I have that. Dan gave me that information.
Oh,
and I guess I chose.
I said it wrong.
Oh, you said it wrong.
Yeah,
so it's not my fault.
It's a real fly by night operation.
It's Jen Bosworth writes at gmail.com.
You got it.
Jen Bosworth writes at gmail.com.
That's it. Because if you do Jen writes, you could get, I don't know.
Yeah.
Some weird personal ads.
Yeah, you don't want that.
Which would be kind of fun.
Yeah,
right for people.
That could add to your interview experience.
Yeah.
Jen Bosworth writes at gmail.com.
Yeah.
How long have you been doing this?
I've been doing it about, just not very long, like 6 months maybe. Mm-hmm. I started like thinking, oh my gosh, I see so much. And also I'm writing a screenplay.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, I complain a lot about bad theater, bad art. I love to complain, which is fine. But then you got to do something about it. And so I'm like, well, let me start writing. It's fascinating.
What is your screenplay about, or would you rather not?
No, I could tell you.
Yeah.
It's Junebug meets Terms of Endearment, except with a way less weird white people. That's how I pitched it. I was in L.A. actually pitching it.
Mm-hmm.
And I pitched it like that. And everyone either laughs or looks at me like, oh, my, you need help.
Yeah.
But I love Junebug. I love that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant movie.
Yep.
Some good monologues in there. And then I love Terms of Endearment.
So do I.
So it's, but you know, the younger executives have no idea what I'm talking about with Terms of Endearment.
Come
on. They should. No, they don't. They're like, is that? And they get it mixed up with Ordinary People. I'm telling you.
Man.
I know. Ordinary People. There's a movie with some good monologues.
Amazing.
Donald Sutherland.
Donald Sutherland has a scene in that movie.
Which
where
one?
He's really sad. He comes home. He's in the garage, and Mary Tyler Moore comes out, and he has it's a dialogue scene, but it's mostly him talking,
mm-hmm.
so it's mostly monologue. And it's about how he couldn't believe how concerned she was with what color shirt he wore to their son's funeral.
Oh, yeah, it makes me cry just thinking about
that movie.
I cried and cried.
I mention this every time we talk about Ordinary People. It's a great. I love that movie. First movie Robert Redford ever directed.
Yes. Right.
Mary Tyler Moore got nominated. Timothy Hutton got nominated and won. Judd Hirsch got nominated. Donald Sutherland did not.
Why?
I don't know. It's the best performance in the movie.
He's my favorite in the movie.
Oh, by far. And everybody's great in it. The thing about that is, it's by far the best performance in a movie filled with really exceptional performances.
Yeah, he was the best by far.
He's unbelievable.
He has some great, great, great monologues.
You know what movie has a lot of great monologues?
Which one?
My favorite movie of all time, Magnolia.
It does. I haven't seen that in a while.
First of all, it's got the extraordinarily crazy long Jason Robards regrets monologue.
Right.
Melora Walters has a couple of good monologues in that one too.
True.
There's a lot of, you go back and watch that one. That's rich with people yapping for a long time.
Yeah. It's a 3 hour situation.
three
right?
hours and 12 minutes.
Wow. Yeah. But that's your favorite movie of all time,
all
right?
All time, yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
It's
how
just
you
crazy.
Find something?
Yeah, I don't know. I just love it. But yeah. I'm trying to think of
Well, do you know that's P.T. Anderson, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I have a little P.T. Anderson story for
you. Uh-oh. Oh, well, you have to tell me now.
He dated Fiona Apple.
Yes.
Okay.
dedicated that movie to her.
Okay. So apparently, this is when I lived there.
When you were working for Nick Cage.
Well, I was working for Nicolas Cage. And, you know, rumors, they're like, did you hear what happened at Spiaggia or whatever last night? I'm like, what? And they're like, Fiona Apple stabbed P.T. Anderson in the hand with a fork. Because he cheated on her. And that was the big news. And I bet she did. She's a little nuts. She's a little nuts.
I'll tell you, that doesn't surprise me.
No, I like her and she's crazy.
Yeah, I'm totally with you.
She's crazy. But anyway, that's your favorite. Yeah,
we mentioned that you would, people who...
They might not know.
You worked for Nicolas Cage.
I did. For 7 years, I worked for Nicolas Cage, the Academy Award. Hey, he has a new movie that looks insane.
I saw it.
Was it?
No, it's great.
It really is. It Mandy. What's it called?
Mandy.
Mandy, right?
Oh,
it's great.
It's, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is it crazy?
Completely.
And part of it, I think it was filmed here. Like, or no?
No.
No. Okay.
Let me just say this.
Okay.
He totally cages it.
Okay.
At some point in the movie.
Sure. I know what you mean. Exactly.
It's just part of the insanity of the entire movie. So you know how a lot of movies that Nicolas Cage does.
Yeah, he's like in a different movie.
He's like insane.
Yeah.
And the movie, you know, he's just doing stuff crazy.
Right.
For like no reason.
He's just crazy.
He's just crazy.
Yeah.
And a lot of his movies have done that. This
Correct.
Is a movie that's crazier than he is.
How is that even possible?
I loved it.
Is it out?
Yeah, it's on VOD. It is making a ton of money on the independent circuit. Like, it played to sold out houses at the Music Box.
I had no idea.
Yeah, it was out about 3 weeks ago, Dan. When we reviewed it 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, about that.
Yeah, and it's on, but it's on video on demand. It's on VOD.
Okay.
That's how I watched it. Like at 3 o'clock in the morning on a Friday, and I was like, oh boy.
Do you feel like you're on drugs?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
No. It's an insane movie.
It looked insane.
It's
the trailer.
Completely insane. And then there. Let me just say this.
Okay.
Nicolas Cage, at his craziest, chainsaw fight.
What?
Yeah, I think that's all you need to know.
That is insanity. Chainsaw fight?
Yeah.
I don't even know how you have a chainsaw fight. Well, they do.
Yeah.
He does.
Yeah.
Does he have it with a human? Another human?
Well, no, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's not just him.
No, it's not just him with a chainsaw running around. No. Although he does, there are many moments in the movie where he's covered completely in blood.
I was gonna say, it's bloody, right?
Oh, yeah.
What is happening?
Yeah.
But you know what? Good for him. Might as well just be crazy in a crazy movie.
Yeah.
Versus because sometimes you watch his movies lately and you're like, he's in another film.
Yeah.
Like all these people are in, you know, I don't know, Officer and a Gentleman, and he's in, you know, Tootsie or something. I don't know, crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, every once in a while.
Yep.
He'll do a movie and you go, he's a good
Joe.
Actor. Joe is the perfect example.
It's
he's great
such
in that
good movie.
He's great in it.
Oh, it's a beautiful
and
film.
And he's actually really good in Mandy. It's a crazy movie, but he's good in it. It's like a good crazy performance.
Isn't that amazing how people can just pop up and be normal? Or not normal, but good crazy?
After making so many crappy movies. I was watching, you know, that you can go down that wormhole when you're on YouTube and just watch video after video. And there is Vanity Fair does this thing. I think it's Vanity Fair. Maybe GQ. GQ does this thing where they have actors talk about their iconic roles.
Oh.
So they go through like their whole career. And they're usually 15, 20 minutes long. Like yeah. I just watched the one with Jeff Bridges because he's my favorite actor.
Yeah, he's your favorite.
But they ridiculously omitted both The Fisher King and Fearless. I don't know. He talked about a bunch of other great movies that he was in and performances.
Maybe some legal thing.
I don't know. But
I know is you introduced me to Fearless. And I was not prepared, and it's the most beautiful thing.
Did you, when you looked in my office, did you see the 8x10 that you gave me?
Yes.
Is in my office?
I did not see that, but I know I gave it to you. And also, just that scene in the plane when they're dancing in the music and they're dying. And anyway, if people have not seen Fearless, it's one of the best movies ever.
It is, I agree. Yep. Okay, hang on. You're going to hang out with us. It's Jen Bosworth. We're going to take a break for the news coming up after this. All right. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. Here till 5 a.m. It's Tuesday, 2 for Tuesday.
Hear me?
Get your requests in now. One artist, two songs, 312-981-7200. We'll play them later. We are going to talk about TV shows that are populated with really unlikable characters, and we are going to talk about... But The Price is Right coming to Chicago.
What does that mean? They're just here for a day?
They tour, and it's one day. I think it's at night. Maybe they do two nights.
Is it at a...
It's at the Chicago Theater.
I'm going to show up dressed as a pickle.
And
try to get on there. I'm going to try to get on there.
I think you might be thinking of Let's Make a Deal.
Oh.
Let's Make a Deal is where you got to dress up.
Oh, I just went to Price's Right.
With a pickle?
As a pickle.
Yeah, that might be okay.
I might work. Anyway,
might work.
So they come to the Chicago.
And I can't remember who the host is. It's a guy. I think it's Todd Newton.
Who's Todd?
Hey, Todd Newton. I'm Todd Newton.
Oh,
how's it going, man? I'm Todd Newton.
Couldn't they get someone else, a local?
Do you remember Todd Newton, Dan?
Who's
Man, I'm Todd Newton. That was kind of like he was like a one of the he's like a E entertainment reporter kind of
guy.
And he was like on he was always on the red carpet going, "Hey, here's Gwyneth Paltrow. Yeah, I'm Todd Newton." and I think it's Todd Newton. Well, you know, when they used to do some of the game show things when they would tour.
Yeah.
He was kind of a go-to. He's one of those, you know, sort of generic.
Like the other guy who
like a Seacrest guy,
the Nickelodeon guy who does all those. Do you know that guy who did
Double Dare?
Yeah,
that's why am I blanking on his name?
I don't know. He has OCD.
Mark Summers.
Yeah, Mark Summers.
Yeah, Mark Summers.
He did every game for a while.
He's a big hotshot with the Food Network.
What?
Oh yeah. He went in. He was on the ground level.
He had shows about like how food was made.
Unwrapped was one of his shows. He is executive producer
of the whole deal.
He's responsible for Paula Deen's career.
What?
Oh yeah. No. He got in on the ground level at Food Network. It was like
he's not just a double dog dare.
No. That's nothing. Now, he's not making his money there. He went back to Double Dare, I think, for nostalgia purposes.
Because he was touring. He came to the...
But his money comes from Food Network.
You never know.
Oh, no. He's
Paula Deen. I like butter.
Yeah. And Earl. I like Earl. Put some Earl in it.
Put some Earl.
So what they do is they bring in like a local, you know, schnook. Like, hey, who talks like that. And then he hosts it, but they bring all the classic games in. Like, you can get up on stage and play Plinko.
You just
go to the show, buy tickets,
and then you pick your ticket. If they pick your ticket,
if they call your name, you come on down.
I'm gonna go on down.
Yeah, I don't know if the. Oh man, Dan, be prepared. That's gonna be on Friday morning show.
I already emailed him.
Vic already emailed that one in. So there you go. You're gonna hear that one on Friday morning.
Oh no. between that and the pickle.
That's it.
So
you just show up, you pay, I don't know how much it is to get in, you buy a ticket, it's probably like $25 or something, you buy a ticket, and you're there.
It might be fun!
No, I'm sure it's gonna be a blast!
Oh, I might do it.
And then, like, what if you get up there and you get the yodeling idiot?
What's that?
The yodeling idiot,
who goes up the mountain
and then falls and dies, you kill him?
I'm not good with prices.
No, and prices? Then you might not want to be on the Price is Right.
That's probably not my game.
I want to go to the Price is Right, but I'm not good with prices.
Yeah.
You know what's really funny?
Yeah.
Is when they have like celebrity prices, right? And they have to like guess how much groceries are.
They're like, uh-huh.
How much is a six pack of Coca-Cola? $23. Because they don't do their shopping. People don't know how much is this fabric softener? $73.
The other thing is, yeah, I shop a lot at the Dollar Tree, and everything's a dollar.
It's so easy to remember.
How much is this? A dollar?
Dollar. You know what was really funny? Yeah. Did you ever see the footage? This is online, Dan. Bill Gates was on Ellen, okay? And have you seen this footage, Dan?
No.
Bill Gates was on Ellen, okay. And they were doing like a Price is Right thing with Bill Gates, and he was going to win money for a contestant in the audience. And so he had to guess the prices, and it was exactly what I was saying. Bill Gates has never bought a grocery in his life.
No, he has like a staff
never
of 40.
Stepped into a grocery store in his life.
Right.
Never did a piece of laundry in his life.
Fabric softener,
or
please.
Or washed a dish.
Probably doesn't know what they are, fabric softeners.
Exactly.
What?
So, and this was really, like, I watched it on YouTube. I watched the video of this on YouTube of him trying to figure out how much these things cost. It was unbelievable.
Like he had no clue.
No, oh my God, not even remotely close on, like, he had taco shells and stuff like that.
He's like, probably like $30.
I don't know, $22? And Ellen was just like really like, seriously, man? I mean, and the audience was booing and they were trying to help him out higher or lower. They were trying to help him out. But whenever they have those celebrity sort of things where the celebrities have to guess how much the prices are, I always find it endlessly amusing.
Yeah, it's really.
But no, I'm sure it's going to be fun. You should go dress as a pickle.
I might just go. You know, one time, speaking of prices, one time we went out for Christmas at the Nick Cage Ranch. And not his ranch. We went for sushi. And we were eating. And I was tasked with paying the bill. Not with my own money. But
with his money.
Do you want to know how much? I was just telling someone this. We were at a place with sushi with Kobe beef where they hang.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So we're eating, and at the time I really drank, and everyone really drank. And it was 10 of us, and I got the bill, and it was $7,000.
Oh, my God.
I said, is this for a car? Did I just buy a... That's a car. That's how much my Toyota costs.
By the way, the production features a rotating series of hosts, including Todd Newton and Mark Summers.
We were both right.
Hey, I'm Todd Newton. You know, Todd Newton hosted the new version of Whammy.
Oh, my God.
Because they had the Pressure Luck from the 80s.
Yes, I remember.
And then they rebooted it in the late 90s, early 2000s. It was called Whammy.
Whammy.
I'm Todd Newton. Welcome
Todd
to Whammy.
Newton. Welcome to Whammy.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's a weird career to have.
Yeah. Well, when you talk like that guy, I don't know.
DJ.
Yeah. No, those are the kind of gigs you're a Seacrest guy. That's like you're a Seacrest clone.
You're following and you're trying to get to where Seacrest is. What happened to Seacrest?
Well, he's got 43 jobs.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well. And listen, that guy, he's on with, isn't he on with Kelly now? He's on the morning show with Kelly.
Yes.
Yeah.
He does radio.
Again, this is a guy that
he got in on the ground
American
floor.
Idol. He was still doing American Idol.
He was the host.
And
he's a producer now, right?
You want to talk about another guy who doesn't have to work?
What?
He is responsible for the whole Kardashian thing on E. Yeah.
Look. Yeah. That's insane.
Yeah. He's the producer of and they have 20 Kardashian shows on E.
I know.
And he makes money off of all of them.
They have the Kardashian sisters, cousins, brothers.
Idiots.
That works at the deli.
I don't understand what's happening.
Yeah. Well, they're attractive people.
Yeah.
Some of them.
So.
Yeah.
So yeah, Price is Right. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. You're gonna go down there and
I'm gonna go and dress as a pickle and see if I can get on the Price
and try and play some Plinko. Plinko, that's always the fun one.
What is Plinko?
That's where it's the giant board where you have a disc.
I love that one.
And you drop it and it goes down.
That.
And it falls into a category.
I would
where
like to win the jet ski.
Yeah,
there's always a jet ski.
There's
going
a jet
on.
Ski. There's always a vacation.
A vacation.
Yeah, that like there's always, and then that gets the excuse to have the models in bikinis and stuff.
Are they still doing that?
Yeah.
Oh my.
Well, they have now. They have there's a dude on there, and they get him all shirtless and stuff, and he shows grills.
I guess they're trying to
get
a grill.
Yeah. Yeah,
naked selling grill.
You know the thing is that that usually indicates my bedtime is when I'm watching Price is Right. I'm like, yeah, I got to go to bed.
What time is it on?
10.
Oh, you go to bed at 10 around there.
I usually I'll watch the Price is Right for a little while because I love to watch the yodeling dude fall off the mountain and die. It's my favorite thing. So I always wait, and then when I realize it's not, because it's always, that game is always up front. It's always one of the first.
Is?
Yeah, because it's one of the most popular games.
Oh.
So they try to get it in the first half hour.
Yeah.
That's usually when it happens.
Is he literally called the idiot Lope?
No. Oh, I think he's called Yodeling Guy. I think that's
the mountain climber.
It's called Cliffhanger.
Cliffhanger.
I think Cliffhangers is what it's called. Cliffhangers.
Yeah, Cliffhangers.
That's the name of the game.
Okay, but he's the idiot yodeler.
I think Drew refers to him as the yodeling guy.
I wish they would call him the idiot yodeler.
Yeah, I call him something else.
Oh, let's not.
But I can't say it on the
right.
air.
I think I can understand.
I can tell you what I call him. Okay. I call him the yodeling. All right, you know that TV show, the three-letter TV show with Catherine Bell?
What?
You know the TV show JAG?
Yes.
Remember the TV show Jag?
Yes, I know exactly.
Do you know what the opposite of on is?
I really do.
That's what I refer to.
I get it. Yep.
And it's a Chicago.
It's a very Chicago.
Oh, it's called Yodely Guy.
Oh, my
Yodely
God.
Guy. That's what he calls him. That's what Drew calls him. Yodely Guy. Yodely.
Oh, my God. That's perfect.
That's what he did. Well, I watch it. It's my favorite.
You literally watch
it's
it
my
all
favorite
the time.
Game on Price is Right.
You need to get that sound effect going on this.
You know what's really funny? Here's something that's. Let me really quickly aside.
Okay.
Jen, you know that I'm one of the hosts at Flashback Horror Convention.
I do.
Okay. And the guys who do the sound.
Yeah.
It's a husband and wife team.
Oh.
And he has another guy that works with him. His name is Sean. So he does the sound in the room where we do the Q&As.
Great. So the mics and all the...
Exactly. All the setup and everything. And he runs the board and the sound and everything. So, like, he'll play... He'll, you know, like, in between setups when we're clearing out the room to bring in another set of celebrities in a room, he'll play music. He'll usually play, like, spooky music or something like that. So it was right before when I was going up on stage to introduce Dana... My future ex-wife, Dana DiLorenzo, and Ray Santiago. I was the moderator for their Q&A.
Okay.
Because they're both in Ash versus Evil Dead.
Right.
And so one of the other hosts just finished up their Q&A and said, okay, Nick DiGilio is going to come up now and he'll do the Q&A for Dana and for Ray. And so as I start walking up, Sean is he follows me on Facebook and everything, and he knows me.
Yeah.
As I'm walking up, all of a sudden I hear over the PA, and he played the thing. And I turn around, I look at him, and he's like, ha, 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 I wanted to surprise you with that.
He likes you.
Yeah, and Don Johnston, who is the guy who basically is in charge of setting everything up technically-wise.
Yeah.
At the Crown Plaza, he works for the Crown Plaza Hotel.
Okay.
We call him the mayor of Rosemont.
Okay.
We just call him the mayor. He is also a big fan, and he and Sean got together, and he got the sound clip for
it. That is amazing.
Yeah, and it just cracked me up.
That's special.
Everybody in the room was like, what the hell are they playing this for? That's not scary. That's from The Price is Right.
Yep.
They just did it to surprise me.
Yay.
So, anyway, we'll see you at The Price is Right.
Yeah.
All right, Jen, hang on.
Okay.
All right, Jen Bosworth is here. We'll take a break, and we've got more with Jen coming up. We got Two for Tuesday coming up and much more. How's everybody doing? Nick DiGilio here on. Having a little trouble with the headphones.
I don't know. I can't.
You can't put
so
them on.
Fancy. I don't know. I got a big head and they're small. I don't.
We've got these new headphones that are attached to every mic in both studios, and they are top of the line Shure headphones, and they are sponsored by Allstate. There's an Allstate logo on the side of them, and Jen is having a little difficulty putting them on.
They're really fancy. I'm used to, like, when I used to work here, I had one that was hanging off the other. I had to put them together every time. I'm kind of a low-tech kind of a gal.
Yeah. Well, now that we've got all these fancy schmancy studios here, they wanted to have the headphones, be as fancy and schmancy as the studio.
Yeah.
This is all new stuff.
I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah.
This studio looks like your old studio a little bit. Like, the setup is very similar.
That's why I'm in here.
Yeah, it's, like, very comforting, because if I was visiting in, a space-age Jetsons situation, I would really have a problem.
Yeah.
This feels, like, regular.
It does.
Better lighting than the other one.
Yeah.
Remember
the lighting was a little off in the 7th. And one of the other things that was better, a little bit better about the 7th floor of the Trib Building,
well,
even though it's set up almost exactly like the studio, There was a bathroom right there.
That's right.
Yeah. There was a bathroom 15 feet from where I sat.
Yeah, you drink a lot of water.
I drink a ton of water during the show.
A ton of water. Yeah. So, well.
Now I just got to walk down the hall. It's not that far.
No.
So.
Yeah. So I just really am loving hearing about all the flashback stuff. I loved hearing about it.
I love doing it. It's a blast.
It's always my favorite. One of my favorite episodes is your recap.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
We had a pretty interesting recap this year.
Yeah.
Because at one point during an outdoor screening, the inflatable screen collapsed.
Twice, right?
Twice. Yeah. And the great Amanda Bierce from Married with Children.
She
jumped out and saved the day.
She's hilarious, too.
She's a really cool woman. She's very, very, very cool. So, but yeah, no, it was a really fun one.
It sounded great.
Yeah,
it sounded really great.
So, in addition to that, now since we last had you on the show,
yeah,
you actually did a show with my alma mater. You did a show with the Factory.
Oh my gosh, that's right, I did.
Because it's been that long.
Oh my gosh,
it's been that long since you've been on the show.
You are right.
Tell me about your experience working with the Factory.
Well, you know, they like to drink.
Yes,
I mean. Just saying, I don't drink, so it was it was interesting. Also,
yeah, it's one of the reasons I haven't seen those people in a very long time.
You know,
it
is a they are a nice rowdy bunch,
and they're wonderful,
wonderful,
and some of my best friends.
Yes,
I just can't be around.
It's an interesting thing. I had fun, and I also met some really great people, and I had a lovely time. I also am just getting older, and when you're young, you can do a lot. I mean, when you're old, you can do a lot of drinking too, but the damage is more severe. And so, good for them. Go for it.
And they have so you did Fight City, right?
Yeah,
yeah. And who'd you play in that?
I played the mother of the lead character, and I also played like some other bit characters. Mm-hmm. And I played the old lady basically,
right.
And I loved it, and I didn't do any fighting. It was a big fight combat show, and I was like, oh no,
I'm not doing any combat.
No. I'll be sitting over here.
Yeah,
you tell me when you need me to
that
go
sounds
on stage.
That sounds exactly like what I'd want to do.
Yeah, so lovely
like
humans. I'm not a partier, so
right.
But they you know, good for them. They've been doing this a long time.
25 years.
They're still going.
It's they're entering their 26th season.
Oh my gosh.
And it's their next show is written by Manny Tamayo.
Really?
Yeah,
I like Manny a lot. He's good people.
He's a great person, man.
He's really good
great,
people.
Great.
So yeah, I was in that since I've been here, and I basically
Did you get any of the did you do any of the Chicago Dick Wolf shows?
I go in for the, you know, it's so funny. I go in for them all the time.
Yeah.
Never book it. And I booked Empire, you know.
Oh, yeah, you were on Empire. Yeah.
That was hilarious. Just hilarious and fun.
Did you work with Sarah in it?
No, I didn't work with Sarah. I worked with, This Lucius's, the woman who plays Lucius's mother. Anyway, Terrence Howard's mother.
Yeah, yeah.
She was lovely. Everyone was lovely. I had a great time. The Dick Wolf shows, I go in for like office assistant number 1, 2, 3, 5,
right,
garbage
right.
woman, whatever. Never book it. But you know what? I'm telling you, it's for the birds.
Yeah.
You have no control. You just walk in, you're like, well, I guess I don't know if that was terrible.
Right.
I hope it wasn't.
Right.
But, and then you never hear.
Yeah.
And it gets so tiring.
Well, you know, my friend Mike View.
Yeah.
That's why he left L.A.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why you left L.A.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And he, you know, he went out there thinking, okay, you know what? I'm doing really well here in Chicago.
Because he was doing real. I mean, yeah. He was on television.
He was on television. He booked a bunch of stuff.
Mob Doc, right? Or
well, this was after he moved back from L.A.
Oh, but even so, before he had done a
lot of theater, and he booked a bunch of commercials
that's
and stuff
right.
like that. And then he moved out to L.A. and he was out there 2000. He was there for 9 months.
Yeah.
And in the middle of the night, after, you know, like not being happy.
Yeah.
He came home, loaded up his truck and left.
Yeah.
Just left in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
He still had 3 months left on his lease.
Yeah. He didn't care.
And he just left.
You can't take it sometimes.
No.
And so that's why I think you need something else, like writing.
Yeah.
Like, or something. I say, tell people, take up crochet. I don't know. Do something
yeah.
besides just acting. I mean, some people can just act.
Mm-hmm.
you know, Jennifer Lawrence is doing an okay job for herself.
Yeah,
but most people need a hobby otherwise, or a second thing.
Yeah, no, it's true. You want to have some sort of backup plan when you're doing that. Because, I mean, it could be really, I mean, also could just be like, if you take it really, really seriously, it could be soul crushing.
It's also, nobody knows what they're doing. So they just pick you, they're like, she's got brown hair. Oh, she's too fat. Oh, she's too, it's like that.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with talent.
That's true. All right, hang on, okay?
All right.
All right, Jen Bosworth is here. We're going to take a break. The news is coming up next. Welcome back, everybody. Hi. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studios here until 5 a.m. We're going to be talking about TV shows that have really unlikable characters. We're going to be talking about Price is Right and more. Right now, though, we're hanging out with my friend Jen Bosworth. 312-981-7200 for Talk and Text and Two for Tuesday requests. 312-981-7200. And you can also check us out on Twitter at Nick D Show, on Facebook.com/Nick D Show. And Jen, welcome back.
Hey.
So are you currently working with a group of actors now with what you're doing with the monologues?
No, I mean, I've got people, I just get I get referrals, mm-hmm. and then I work with them. The other thing that I'm doing that is pretty big is this screenplay, which I didn't know how to write a screenplay. And you know, there's a program on a computer called Final Draft that everybody knows. I could not work it. So I wrote my screenplay in pencil in 13 notebooks by hand.
Wow.
I'm one of those weird.
Yeah.
And then I had to transfer it into Final Draft. But I'm old. So to think and write in that program, I'm like, oh, no.
That's too much to ask.
So I have all these notebooks and I'm just like a weird old person. But. I like writing my screenplay. Mm-hmm. It's to the point where, you know, it's, and didn't I give you a Magnolia screenplay?
Yeah.
Okay. A good screenplay is really short, to the point. Even Magnolia, it's like it moves, you know? So I've been reading screenplays and trying to figure out like what makes a good movie, you know? And that was one of my questions for you.
You know what? Let me tell you what I think is, a perfect screenplay.
Okay.
And it's a movie that no one really likes. Oh. And it's called The Ice Harvest.
Oh, I saw it.
Yeah.
I saw it at your film club.
Oh, you did.
Yeah.
Okay, you did.
It's
okay.
So brilliant.
That is a perfect screenplay.
Yeah.
I think as you said, it's streamlined. It's basic. It's well written. It's got great dialogue. It's got an interesting complicated situation.
Twists.
There are great twists. It's got a full arc. A great beginning, middle, and end. And
the end is really good.
The ending is really, really good. And it's one of those movies that there's not a thing wasted. And
no.
You know what else is another perfect screenplay?
What?
Back to the Future.
It is.
Perfect.
Okay, why do you think it's perfect? Just same reasons?
Same reasons. It's everything it sets up is a payoff. There's not one extraneous thing. And that's something that is the case with everything that Zemeckis and Gale write.
Oh.
Like Robert Zemeckis and Bob Gale. They never waste anything.
Right.
Like everything, you know, everything means something. Even in Used Cars, which is a crazy comedy.
Yeah.
The beginning of the movie, Manuel shows Rudy Russo a Polaroid picture, and Russo goes, what is this? It's a picture of 250 cars. I can't do a deal with 250 cars. Later in the movie, they need 250 cars to take to the used car lot to make a mile of cars.
Yes.
So that little moment with the Polaroid pays off.
Comes back.
For the climax of the movie.
So it's details.
Yeah.
That are all, none of them are wasted.
No. The red car thing where the guy's superstitious, that comes to play.
Yeah.
The last car that they need to be on the lot, he finds out it's red, a red car. He freaks out and he's not going to drive it. And that becomes like a major moment in the movie. And at the beginning, it's just funny. It's like, oh, he's superstitious and it's a red car. That's just funny. But then it becomes a huge payoff at the end.
Right.
So the setup and the payoff is a huge thing. And nobody does it better than Zemeckis and Gale.
What is the last movie that they
made together?
Yeah.
It's been a while. Because Zemeckis' last movie was Allied, which was the spy thriller with Brad Pitt
I never saw it, but I know
nobody did.
Yeah,
okay. I liked it. His next movie looks amazing, though.
Which is?
It's called Welcome to Marwen.
Oh.
And it's with Steve Carell.
Huh.
It looks right. It's where he's like an artist. He's an artist, yes. And he has these little dolls that yes. represent him and his life.
Yes,
and it looks amazing.
Why didn't people like Ice Harvest?
Nobody saw it. Harold, the great Harold Ramis, directed that movie.
Yeah,
and but it just—I
think it's brilliant.
It's an unbelievably great movie, and I think it's like one of Cusack's best performances.
I think that's it for him.
And,
like that was
yeah.
his best.
So, but no, yeah. and I watch it every Christmas.
It's a great Christmas movie.
One of my favorite Christmas movies of
yeah.
all time.
Yeah.
Randy Quaid.
Yeah.
Billy Bob Thornton.
Billy Bob is amazing.
Connie Nielsen.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, a shot in the area. Dave Pasquese's in it.
Yep. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, Dave's in it. And it's just great. And, you know, I mean, Harold Ramis, you know, I just think it's one of those movies that so criminally underrated.
I'm glad you should. I wish we could see it again. On the big screen was amazing.
Yeah, yeah. We didn't have a huge crowd for that one because nobody knew what it was. I'll tell you what was really amazing. I did a summer of Zemeckis. So it was Zemeckis Fest this whole past summer. So at my film club. So in May I did Used Cars. June I did Back to the Future.
Okay. You did Back to the Future twice, right?
Yeah.
This was the second time.
Okay. That was years ago.
Right.
So I did Used Cars, Back to the Future. In July I did Forrest Gump. In August I did his first movie.
Which is
I Want to Hold Your Hand, which he and Bob Gale wrote.
Oh.
And it's about these kids who go to New York and try to get into the Ed Sullivan Theater and the hotel rooms of the Beatles the night that they show up.
How do I not know about this?
Nobody knows about it, and it's brilliant. And it's really, really great. And it was Zemeckis' first movie as a director. Spielberg executive produced it. Gale and him wrote it. Nancy Allen's the lead.
Yeah.
Eddie Deason is in it, and it's great. And it's really, really funny. And nobody knows that movie, and we had a huge crowd for it. I was stunned at how many people came out for it. And enjoyed it, and how many people
That's
had
so
never seen
cool.
it, and so many people had never seen it before.
What's coming up? We're watching. What are we watching in November?
Longest Yard.
Oh yeah, Longest Yard
with Bert, and then in December we're
What's
doing
our Christmas movie.
Bill Murray and Scrooged.
Oh,
so we're doing Scrooged, and I can't give details. I can tell you off the air.
Yeah,
but something special is going to happen along with that.
Great.
So anyway, now you have turned the tables on me. How many do you have? A lot of questions, or
I have like three questions, but they're. You know, you can make them as long or short as you want.
All right. Let's once again tell everybody how they can get involved with you, because you are now creating custom monologues for actors for auditions.
If you need a monologue, or if you need something for a presentation or help in any way with writing stuff, it's jenbosworthwrites@gmail.com.
jenbosworthwrites@gmail.com. The idea is that actors or actresses, performers come in, you talk to them, you get to know them.
And I write them a monologue. It can be 1 minute, 2 minute, 3 minutes, whatever mm-hmm. you like. And it's a better way to be an artist, I'm telling you, performer.
Yeah. And then also we mentioned a little bit earlier, Robin Coffin. She does acting coaching. She's an acting
coach.
Robin
Coffin is, a good friend of mine. And she's Coach Robin on Facebook. And she'll help you with your monologues. Yeah.
And she's a wonderful actress. And I've had the pleasure of directing her a couple of times. I love her.
Yeah. That's
the feeling is absolutely mutual. Yeah. She's so talented.
She's so talented.
Yeah, she's good. People would know her from...
She's Cindy Herman on Chicago Fire.
Right. She's the wife of the guy from Sex and the City.
Yeah, that's how everyone. That's how... I don't even know his last name.
Eisenberg. Yeah.
Something.
The guy with the glasses from Sex and the City.
Yeah.
You know that guy?
He's okay. On Chicago Fire.
Robin is his wife.
On a different show.
Yeah. on a different show, on Chicago Fire.
Right.
Right. Okay. All right, Jen, why don't we hang on?
Yeah.
We'll come out, and then we're going to switch the tables. I don't think we have your sound bite for the breaking news.
I feel sad. You'll have to use one of your...
I'll figure something out.
Fartacula.
You want...
yeah.
You want this guy to be...
Wasn't that shocking?
There you go. And then let's see if we get my favorite one from...
Okay.
Because my favorite one from Count Fartula is one that I hope we get right here.
Open the coffin. Let me out.
That's my favorite one. He listened. You know, Count Fartula knows me. He knows me. All right, Jen, hang on, all right?
Okay.
We'll turn the tables. Jen's going to ask me some questions right after we take a break here on WGN. Yeah, man. Welcome back. Two for Tuesday coming up.
Yeah.
And that's one artist, two songs. Get your requests in now. We'll play them in a little bit. And after 3 o'clock, we're going to start talking about TV shows that have very unlikable characters, and we'll tell you why we're talking about that. And we'll open up the phone lines and texts to you. 312-981-7200. And coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. My friend Jen Bosworth is here.
Hello.
And if you need help with monologues for auditions and so on and so forth, she will create custom monologue for you. Just write jenbosworthwrites@gmail.com. jenbosworthwrites@gmail.com.
That's it. Happy
All right.
to help.
So now when you make your appearances here on
yes.
the show, and they have to be a little bit more frequent,
they
by the
will.
Way.
Now they will. I have a little more time.
Okay,
before,
cool.
Before I was watching a lot of true crime. And
okay.
I just want to cut it back.
I know you love that stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
And so you usually turn the tables on me.
I do.
And you turn the tables on
me. I get
Nick
a lot
D.
of requests.
Yeah, you get requests from listeners, I
oh,
guess.
Oh,
yeah.
They're like, next time you're on, ask Nick, blah, blah, blah. So
okay.
now I'm going to.
Well, so she's now going to ask me the questions.
Yep.
All right. And do we have a little sound bite?
Okay, it is now time for Turning the Tables on Nick DiGilio with Jen B.
Yeah.
All right, Mr. DiGilio.
Yeah.
Who was your favorite guest of all time?
Oh, man.
That you were just like, I can't believe this. It can be for any reason. It doesn't have to be because they're famous or anything, but like your favorite where you were like, this is amazing.
Geez, that's tough because I have a few.
All right. Well, name the top.
All right. Stephen Tobolowsky.
Oh, right.
Who is consistently fantastic on the show and has been a friend of the show for over 10 years.
Yeah.
10, 12 years.
And you, yeah.
He's every time he's good.
You can tell. You can tell. You can hear it, obviously.
He's great.
Yeah.
For a one-timer.
Yeah.
Andy Summers from The Police.
Oh. I didn't know you. What
oh,
was,
man. He was in studio. It was the first time I was ever nervous. He was in studio.
What was this?
2004, maybe?
Okay, right before I
Something
met you.
Like
okay.
That. I was I did it in the showcase. I did the interview in the showcase studio at Tribune Building.
Yes.
And I stepped out to go to the bathroom. And when I came back in, he was sitting in the chair next to mine. And you don't understand. I mean, if I don't know if you know how much I love The Police.
Yeah, I do know.
Okay, so Andy Summers
oh
in
gosh.
Studio, and it was an amazing interview. And I did the interview with him, and I said, okay, I'm going to bring this up. I know it's never going to happen, but is there a chance that you guys could ever, you know, that The Police could ever reunite? And I know the answer is no. And he's like, well, I don't know, maybe. And that was the first time, and I had the exclusive. And then a year and a half later, they did the summer tour.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah. So that's up there.
That's a great one.
Dana DiLorenzo.
Oh yeah, your future.
My future ex-wife. Dana DiLorenzo is currently my favorite guest.
She's amazing. She's so dynamic,
and she's just nuts.
Yeah.
And like the energy level that
yeah.
she brings,
yeah.
to it. And she's so funny and so sweet and so talented. So she's like way up there right now.
Good. So,
I would have to go with Tobo as maybe the best guest that I have on a regular basis.
Okay, well, that's
yeah.
really good.
Yeah.
What was your? And I know listeners may know this, but like the hardest time on air where you were just like, this is so hard.
Oh, I can give you a few.
Okay.
All right. The night Roy passed away.
Right.
It was the hardest. He passed away. I found out that Roy passed away at 11 p.m.
Oh.
And I had to be on the air at 2. And Todd called me, you know, and said, you can stay home if you want to take the night off. And I said, no, I have to do this.
Right.
That was incredibly hard.
Yeah.
The first show that I did after 9/11.
Oh.
Was brutal. It was
when
3 days after.
Oh, that's pretty soon.
Yeah, it was 3 days afterwards, and we still didn't know what was going on. We were given a playlist of songs that we couldn't play. There was all kinds of people who had no idea how to handle the situation and what to say on the air. We thought comedy was dead, you know, and all that stuff. That was the first show back,
man.
After 9/11 was really, really tough.
Right.
the November 9th. 2016
yes
was real hard.
Yes.
Let's move on.
Yes.
Just recently, the last show with Esmeralda.
Oh yeah.
There was only the second time I've ever cried on air. It was when it was our last show with Es.
Yeah, I had lunch with her last
she's
week.
Great. She just filled in yesterday for John Williams.
Woo-hoo!
She and John Hansen. So
awesome.
And she's going to be on our show
she's
again.
She's going to be around.
No, she's
going to
be around.
Yes,
it's just that I miss her. I mean, on a daily basis, you know,
she was part of the team.
Absolutely.
Okay. The other question is, a bucket list guests. Like, if someone was like, hey, who would you like? We can get you anybody.
Paul Thomas Anderson.
Oh, P.T. Anderson.
Would be
okay.
Right up there. And, geez, that's a good question. Jeff Bridges?
Oh, yeah.
I've had some. Well, I mean, you know, George Saunders is one. The writer George Saunders is one who actually he knows Bill Leff, right?
They grew up together.
They grew up together.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a good question. It's a really
what about
good question.
Musical music people?
Music people.
Dave Matthews.
Maybe. Well, I'd love to have Dave on. Paul McCartney. Paul McCartney for sure.
Yeah.
And let's see.
And then, yeah, anyone else, like people that
that's tough. I'm just trying to think of, I'm trying to, John Irving.
Oh, my favorite book of all time.
Which was?
Prayer.
A Prayer for Owen Meany.
Yeah.
We were talking about movies that make you cry. And someone said, one of my favorite movies of all time is Simon Birch. And I went, no, because they ruined the book. And Prayer for Owen Meany is one of my favorite books of all time.
Yeah, it's the greatest.
I'm trying to think of other... Clint Eastwood?
That would be quite something.
Yeah. I would love to have him on.
That would be... You would get some stories. Mm-hmm. Also, he just seems nuts.
Yeah. Well, he's got a new movie coming out.
He does? Directed or in it?
In it, both. The guy's like 89 years old.
He's like 107.
And he keeps releasing movies.
They're good.
That's the thing. This is called The Mule.
The Mule.
And he plays a 90-year-old guy who is bringing drugs across the border.
Okay.
And it wasn't supposed to come out until next year sometime, but Warner Brothers saw a rough cut of it and said, we're releasing this in December and we're pushing the Oscars for it.
That's when can you see it?
It comes out December 14th. I don't know when they're going to screen it. But like Bradley Cooper's in it. Lawrence Fishburne is in it. Michael Pena's in it. And Clint's the lead.
This is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
So those are my questions.
There we go. The bucket list guests, though, more than that.
Okay,
there's got to be more than
that. I have one more. I forgot to ask you this. Would you ever, if they said, hey, do you want to have a TV show? Would you? A talk show?
Yeah, sure. I mean, but I've got a face for radio.
You say that, and it's just not true.
I would love to do a TV talk show.
You're much cuter than Drew Carey.
Thanks. That's a real nice compliment, Jen.
But I think that it might be good. Someone the other day thought I was Robin Baumgartner. Who's that?
From WGN?
Yeah.
She's awesome.
I do think she's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm just not her.
Yeah.
I happen to not be her. But I was like, no, that's not me. But okay. I was gussied up, you know.
And so they thought you were Robin?
Yeah.
Robin might be listening right now.
Hey, Robin.
Because she's awesome and she's getting up probably right about now or getting ready to go to work.
No,
or
I love her. I think she's hilarious.
She's the best.
All right. So you would do a television show.
Someone sure.
Said, the Nick DiGilio television show.
Sure.
Program.
And I would rip off everything that that Craig Ferguson did.
I was going to say.
And I'll hire Josh Robert Thompson.
Yes.
To do the skeleton. No, I couldn't do that. That would be I couldn't rip off something so great.
You could rip off yourself.
You know, Dana DiLorenzo was on Craig's show.
What?
Oh yeah, she was a regular.
I didn't know
she played Beth, the CBS executive. So whenever
she's super famous.
Whenever Craig would do questionable material, she would go, you can't say that. She was like the fictional CBS executive.
She's super famous.
She played that role, and she was also for one night she was the talking rhino on the wall.
Really?
Yeah.
Gosh, she's worked a lot.
Yeah,
good
yeah.
For her.
She was just on REL. That little
that
Rel
show.
Howry.
I never saw it.
I'll tell you what. I don't know if she's going to be pleased that I said that. She was only in it for a couple minutes at the beginning, and it wasn't very good.
Oh.
And she kind of knows it wasn't very
good.
But yeah, because I texted her, and I'm like, hey, are you on Rel tonight? She's like, yeah, but you don't have to watch. And I said, too late, I watched it. And
well, you know. Well, you know, she's still working.
She's working. And she's doing another convention. She's doing a convention in, I think, Minneapolis.
Wow.
She just did one in Jersey.
You've got some real famous friends.
And she'll be in town this weekend, and I'm going to see her. She's got a wedding here.
So I would love to meet her sometime.
Yeah. Oh, well, she's my future ex-wife, so I think that at some point you will.
So I'm your future ex-bridesmaid to Dana.
There you go.
There you go. That works.
By the way, Tracy Butler from ABC News, who controls the weather. Tracy Butler, by the way, if you don't know this, controls the weather.
Oh.
She texted in, "So awesome to hear Jen on my way in today."
Yay!
Tracy Butler coming in. See,
hey,
we get
Tracy.
we get all the early morning TV people listening to this show. Marcus LeShock listens while he gets escorted with his
Robin,
by his chauffeur.
If you're listening, I'd like your job. Okay. Moving on.
I don't know if that's going to happen.
Probably not. No. They have a thing going.
They do. Yeah. So
anyway,
thank you for the questions. I appreciate that.
Oh, thank you for answering.
Okay. Jen, you got to get in here more often, okay?
I'm available now.
Okay,
I'm ready
good.
To rock.
Good, good, good.
Yeah.
And please give my best to your husband, Miles.
Your boyfriend,
because
yes.
I love him.
Yep.
And again, if you want a custom-created monologue for auditions, Jen will help you out. JenBosworthWrites@gmail.com. Come in, interview, hang out.
We'll have fun.
And then you'll write for
him. Yep, will do.
JenBosworthWrites@gmail.com. And best of luck with the screenplay.
Thank you.
I hope it gets sold.
Me too. Yeah. I need an addition on my house.
To go along with Michael Caine's.
Yeah, I'd like him to move in too.
Oh,
wait a minute.
I think that'll happen. All right, Jen, always good to see you.
Nice to see you.
All right, we'll take a break here. We got the news coming up next year on 720 WGN.